Part 3. Etiquette of cleaning teeth, combing, cutting nails and shaving head. 1. Advantages of miswak, that is cleaning teeth with any raw branch of tree. According to many reliable traditions from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, miswak is the sunnat of all prophets. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, used to say that Hazrat Jibrail asked him to do miswak so often, that he started fearing that his teeth would be rubbed off. According to Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, there are 12 advantages of miswak. A. It is the sunnat of prophets. B. Cleans the mouth. C. Increases brightness of the eyes. D. Causes God's goodwill. E. Takes out sputum. F. Increases memory. G. Teeth are whitened. H. The reward of good deeds increases manifold. I. Stops weakness and falling of teeth. J. Strengthens roots of the teeth. K. Increases appetite in a healthy manner. L. Angels are happy with all those who do miswak. According to a tradition from Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, had advised people to do miswak at the time of every prayer. According to Hazrat Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, and Imam Ali Reza, peace be upon him, among the sunnats of the Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, there are 5 things about the upper half of the body and 5 about the lower part of the body. Among those that are concerned with head are: A. To do miswak. B. Trimming the moustache. C. Parting hair to have place for massa. D. To gargle. E. To put water in the nose. The 5 things that are sunnat about the lower part of the body are: A. To get circumcised. B. To remove unwanted hair on the lower abdomen. C. To remove hair under armpits. D. To cut nails. E. To clean with water after urination. According to Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, when one gets up for namaz Aisheb, night prayer, one should do miswak as an angel descends from heaven and keeps his mouth on one's mouth and whatever one is reciting, Quran, prayers or durood, he takes it to heaven. Therefore it is necessary that one's mouth should be smelling good. If there is not enough time, it is better to clean one's teeth with fingers only. According to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, there are 3 things which sharpen memory and cure all pains: chewing kundur, doing miswak and reciting the Quran A-Majid. Another tradition quotes the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, as saying that 2 rakat prayers with miswak is better than 70 rakat prayers without it. According to Muhammad Bakir, peace be upon him, doing miswak in the bathroom causes one's teeth to fall and also one should never stop doing miswak even if it is done once in 3 days. 2. Etiquette and advantages of shaving one's head. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said that one should shave off the hair from one's head from the roots that the head may be clean and free of lice. Besides, it strengthens one's neck and gives more light to the eyes and the body relaxes, and also said that he shaved his head every Friday. According to a tradition from Hazrat Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, when the hair on the head get long, the eyes get weak and eyesight gets dim, and when the hair are cut, the brightness of the eyes is increased. This applies to men. It is haram, not permissible, for women to cut their hair without any reason. Another reliable tradition states that a person who will not part his hair when he has kept them long, his head will be opened on the day of judgment by God with a cutter of fire. A tradition states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has prohibited a woman who has physically matured to gather her hair in front or at the sides and knot them and hang them in front like men. 2 other traditions state that there is no harm in making an addition, something to tie a plait, from the hair of one's own hair or that of an animal, but the hair of other women should not be mixed with one's own. One should be careful to take off the addition of animal's hair from one's hair before starting one's prayers, as namaz is not allowed with it. But if it is of the hair of permissible animals, then its usage even during prayers is not prohibited. 3. Advantages of cutting of the tips, end, of mustache. Cutting of the ends of the mustache is sunnat a muvak kadar. It is better to cut them sharply and according to the tradition of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, when one lets the mustache grow, one is succumbing to shaitan. According to a tradition from Imam Ja'far a Sadiq, peace be upon him, cutting of the tips of mustache decreases sadness and superstitions, and one who is doing thus is also performing the sunnat of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. Hazrat Imam Ja'far a Sadiq, peace be upon him, used to cut his mustache till the root of the hair and also stated that cutting of nails on Friday prevents one from the disease of dandruff from that Friday to next Friday. According to Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, the mustache should be above the upper lip. Another tradition states that a person came to Imam Ja'far a Sadiq, peace be upon him, and asked for a prayer which will increase his income or daily bread. He was asked by the Imam, peace be upon him, to cut his mustache and nails on a Friday. Another tradition from the same Imam, peace be upon him, states that if a person cuts his mustache and nails on Friday during which he recites the following. In the name of Allah, I trust Allah and Sunnah of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Then God will give him the reward of freeing as many slaves from the children of Ismail as many segments there are of the nails and hair, and except the illness of death, he will not suffer from any other illness. 4. Etiquette of growing one's beard. It should be remembered that keeping a beard of normal length is sunnat. It should be neither too long nor very short. But it is makruh, abominable, to have one's beard longer than masht, that is the length of a closed fist. It is even considered haram, non-permissible. It is popularly accepted among the scholars that except hair on the cheeks and below the lower lip, to shave the beard on both sides is haram, non-permissible, and it should be cut in a manner that it does not resemble a shave. Another tradition states that one should keep one's hand on the beard and the part of beard escaping the hand should be cut off. A tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, states that when God forgave Adam's repentance, then Adam performed thanksgiving and while getting up, looked towards the sky and prayed to God to increase his beauty. Hardly a little time had elapsed when a dark and thick beard came out of his face. He had no beard before it, and when he inquired to God about it, God revealed that it was an asset for him and his offsprings on the day of judgment. 6. The order of cutting the hair of nose and the prohibition of playing with one's beard. A reliable tradition states that every person should cut the ends of the mustache and the hair of the nose. According to Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, there are four things which are a temptation from shaitan: eating mud, to crumble mud or sand while sitting idle, cutting nails with teeth and chewing beard. Imam Ja'far a Sadiq, peace be upon him, states that one should not take one's hand to the beard to stroke it too often, as it is a bad habit and disfigures the beard. 7. Advantages and blessings of cutting nails. According to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, cutting off one's nails keeps away many diseases and increases one's daily bread. Imam Muhammad Bakir, peace be upon him, explained that men have been ordered to cut the nails, for keeping nails gives a chance to shaitan to spread dirt. Besides, it causes loss of memory. Another tradition states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, had ordered men to cut the nail very near to the flesh, and women were ordered to leave a little, as it is a source of beautification for women. 8. Manner and timings of cutting one's nails. A tradition states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, prohibited biting of one's nails with one's teeth. According to a reliable tradition from Imam Ja'far a Sadiq, peace be upon him, cutting the nails on Friday keeps one safe from the disease of dandruff, leprosy and blindness. Even if there is no need to cut one's nails, one should cut them a little that a few of their particles may fall off. Another tradition states that cutting of nails and the ends of the mustache on every Friday, and also washing hair with kartimi leaves increases one's income. Another tradition states that people told the Imam, peace be upon him, that they have heard that dua and namaz, takbirat, after the morning prayers until the sun rises, is better than hunting for one's daily wages from one city to another. The Imam, peace be upon him, asked whether he could show something which was more satisfactory from the point of view of daily income. When the people replied in the affirmative, the Imam, peace be upon him, said that one should cut one's nails and sideburns every Friday, and even if the nails are not big enough to be cut, one should rub them a little on every Friday. Another tradition states that Imam Reza, peace be upon him, saw a person suffering acutely from an eye disease. The Imam, peace be upon him, asked him if he would like to know something which will alleviate the pain in the eyes. When the person replied in affirmative, the Imam, peace be upon him, asked him to cut his nails on a Wednesday. When the person did what he was ordered, he never complained of eye ache again. According to a tradition, a person who cuts his nails on a Thursday should start from his left hand and end on the little finger of his right hand. Another tradition states that when a person cuts all his nails except one on a Thursday and takes that one off on a Friday, then God will dissolve all his worries. According to a reliable tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, a person who cuts his nails on a Friday, God takes away all pains from his body pores and fills them with health, and a person who cuts his nails on a Thursday or Saturday is always safe from the diseases of eyes and teeth. Another tradition states that people said to Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, that there is a saying in their particular group that one should take off nails only on a Friday. The Imam, peace be upon him, replied that it was perfectly all right to take off nails on a Friday, but as previous traditions state that if the nails are long, one should not wait for a Friday to cut one's nails. It is stated from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, that if one cuts one's nails on a Friday, then one's children will never have an eye complaint, and if he wants to be benefited by both Thursday and Friday, he should cut all his nails on Thursday and keep one for Friday, or cut all on Thursday and file them on a Friday so that a few of the particles may fall off. One should recite the following while cutting nails. In the name of Allah, I trust Allah and Sunnah of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. 9. Advantages and blessings of combing one's head or beard. A reliable tradition from Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, says that wearing good clothes belittle the enemy, oiling one's body relaxes mental tension and worries, and combing one's hair strengthens the teeth, improves earning and increases virility. It is stated from Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that combing one's hair wards off 20 types of diseases and many types of pains. 10. Timings and manner of combing and types of combs. According to a reliable tradition, Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, used to keep a comb in the prayer cloth and comb his hair after the prayers. According to Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, the meaning of beauty of verse 7, 31. Be ye adorned at every time of prostration. Implies combing one's hair before prayers. In another tradition, Imam, peace be upon him, has stated that when you have combed your head and beard, comb the hair on the chest, as this keeps away sorrow and illness. Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, prohibits combing in the bathroom as it weakens the hair. It is stated from Imam Ali Reza, peace be upon him, that a person who combs the hair of his head, beard and chest 7 times, no pain will come to him. It is stated from Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, that one should not comb while standing, but one should sit while combing, for the former weakens the heart and the latter strengthens the heart and thickens the epidermis of the body. According to Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, a person who combs while standing will be involved in loans. Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, has said that a comb made of ivory cures fever. A tradition from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, states that the use of a comb made of silver or etched with silver is makruh. Part 4. Manner of eating and drinking. 1. Utensils that are allowed in eating and drinking. Silver and golden plates are not permitted for eating and drinking, and even their use for other types of work is doubtful. But it is better to avoid their use and display for decoration purpose. Any food which is kept in silver and gold is not permissible, though this food can be taken out in other types of utensils. There is no reliability about this tradition. One group of ulama does not perform wuzu with utensils of silver and gold. Many ulama are of the view that the following things should not be made of either gold or silver: sawmo bottle, scent case, agar case, chilom, lanterns, which are open on two sides and hung in holy tombs, case of the Quran, cases for the books of prayers and supplications, mirror cases, and even walking sticks and pens. But according to me, that is majlisi, their non-permissibility is not proved. However, the end of hookah pipe, mohnal, should never be made of gold or silver. To eat or drink in all gilded utensils is makruh, detestable. If you eat in them, it is better not to let your mouth touch them. If wine is kept in any utensil of glass or brass, then these utensils can be cleaned by washing them, and even raw china, which is not porous. But all clay utensils made by potter from ordinary clay need a lot of water to be cleaned once they have been soaked in dirt, wine. The water should be soaked in the clay pot to the extent that the impurity is removed. However, it is better not to use them. According to a tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, the person who uses utensils of silver and gold in this world will be kept away from them in heaven. According to another tradition, Umro bin Abil Mukdam brought a cup of water for Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, which was joined with a silver piece which the Imam, peace be upon him, let loose with his teeth. According to another tradition, Imam Reza, peace be upon him, has prohibited the use of clay pot coming from Egypt. According to Buzi ibn Umar, he saw Imam Muhammad Taqi, peace be upon him, having food in a black bowl in the middle of which Surah Qulhuwallah was written in yellow color. 2. The right to have good tasty food and prohibition of greed. According to traditions coming from Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon him, it is mustahab to eat and let others eat good and clean food and serve it with all formalities, and it is not right to make good food haram upon oneself. It is however necessary that the food is sought by halal means, and one should not eat to the extent of forgetting prayers. One should not be like animals and only bother about eating and drinking, as eating and drinking is done for the sake of prayer and that one may gain strength. One should not spend to the extent of being known as spendthrift, as God does not keep this type of man his friend. According to a reliable tradition, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, used to serve people with good bread, tasty firni, and delicious halwa, and used to say that when God is generous to us, we should be generous to people when serving them, and when we are in need we should be careful. According to another tradition from the same Imam, peace be upon him, God will question every mu'min on three topics on the Day of Judgment: firstly, what he had eaten; secondly, what he had worn; and thirdly, how much he had fulfilled the desire of obedient wife and kept her away from haram. Abu Khalid Kabuli visited Imam Muhammad Bakir, peace be upon him, who served him with delicious food, during breakfast. When the Imam, peace be upon him, asked how was the food, Abu Khalid praised the food and recited this ayat: "And on that day will be definitely questioned about the manifold blessings of Allah." According to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, man needs to eat that much food which is needed for his strength. One part of the stomach should be for food, the second for water, and third for breathing. One should not try to fatten oneself like the lamb meant for zabiha, slaughter. He also said that a full stomach causes revolt, disobedience, and quarrels. Except fever, All sudden diseases and pains are caused by overeating. Another tradition from Hazrat Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, states that if the followers of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, follow the ways and manners of alien people, especially those of dress and food, they will not be blessed and on the contrary, they will be degraded. The Holy Quran 102:8. According to a tradition from Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, if you eat too much food, then white spots appear. According to a tradition from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, God keeps those people enemies who have these habits. A. Who sleep during the day when they have not been awake during the night. B. Who laugh meaninglessly. C. Who eat after the stomach is full. According to Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, once Hazrat Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, visited a city where a man and a woman were fighting with each other in loud tones. Hazrat Isa, peace be upon him, inquired about the cause. The man replied that the woman was his wife, very pious and had no vices, but he did not like her and desired to be separated from her. When the Prophet Isa, peace be upon him, further asked the cause, he said that the woman was getting old and had lost the freshness of the face. Hazrat Isa, peace be upon him, asked the woman whether she wanted the freshness of her face. She replied, "Why not?" Then Hazrat Isa, peace be upon him, asked her not to eat much, for it spoils the freshness of the face. When the woman acted accordingly, she looked young and was accepted by her husband. 3. Ways and timings of eating. It is sunnat, recommended, optional, to eat early in the morning and be without food for the whole day and then have food for a second time after Isha prayers. The morsel should be small, the food should be chewed properly, while eating one should not stare at anyone and should not take very hot food. One should not cool the food by blowing with the mouth, instead, let the food remain for some time till it cools. According to a reliable tradition, the nephew of Shahab went to Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, complaining of stomach ache and heaviness of bowels. The Imam, peace be upon him, asked him to eat only two times, day and night, for God has said the same in the praise of food in heaven. For those whose abode is heaven, they will get their food already prepared both the times, morning and evening. According to another tradition, a person who does not eat in the evening gets old, and old people should eat a little before going to sleep that they may be able to sleep. This will also cause good breath in the mouth and the person will grow more polite. According to Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, any person who wants that the food should not harm him should not eat until his bowels are clear, he feels very hungry. When he begins his food, he should recite Bismillah. The food should be chewed, and when there is a little bit of hunger left to be appeased, then one should stop eating. According to Hazrat Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, 12 points should be kept in view about food by every Muslim. 4 are compulsory, 4 are sunnat, optional, and 4 are about manners. 1. The Holy Quran 19:62. The compulsory ones are: A. Knowing one's giver. B. To know that all that we have is from God and be satisfied with the food he gives. C. Saying Bismillah. D. Thanking God. The sunnat are: A. To wash hands before eating. B. To sit by keeping one's weight to the left side. C. To eat with at least 3 fingers. D. To lick the fingers. The manners of eating are: A. To eat that food which is placed before one. B. To take small morsels. C. To chew the food. D. Not to look at others' faces while eating. 4. Complete etiquette of having food. It is sunnat to eat with the right hand and sit on the knees. No food should be taken while lying or relaxing, but one can rest on the left hand while having food, as there is no harm. It is wrong to squat while eating and worse to put one foot over the other. Eating alone is makruh, abominable. It is sunnah to eat with servants and slaves, sitting on the ground. It is a popular belief among ulama that one should not eat while walking, and that it is sunnah to wash the hands before and after the meal and not to dry them on a towel. Certain ulama are of the opinion that one should not eat with people who take haram, non-permissible, food or perform haram, non-permissible, act. Even to sit on a table set for them is haram. It is also haram to sit and eat with those people who lie about Muslims and blame them of performing non-permissible deeds. To taste salt before and after the meals is sunnat. Another reliable tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, states that a man who sits on the table with drunkards is cursed. According to many of the reliable traditions, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has prohibited the use of left hand for having food except when a person is forced to or whose right hand is diseased. Another tradition prohibits eating while lying on one's stomach, relaxing or resting. According to a tradition from Hassan, one day Badr Basari, a noted Sufi and Sunni alim, visited Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, while he was having food. Imam's, peace be upon him, left hand rested on the ground. Ibad said to Imam, peace be upon him, aren't you aware that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has stopped us from resting our hand on the ground? The Imam, peace be upon him, lifted his hand a little and rested it back again. Ibad commented again. The third time the Imam, peace be upon him, replied that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has certainly not prohibited the resting of the left hand while having food. A tradition states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, used to eat only from what was in front of him. He used to sit as one sits in the state of tashahud while praying. The right foot used to be on the left and the back of the right foot used to meet with the front of left. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, used to say that he was a creature who was like others and sat among them. According to Hazrat Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, when a person can use his right hand for eating, it is makruh to use the left hand? According to Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, one should not eat while walking, except when forced. Many reliable traditions from Ahl al-Bayt and Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, state that if a person wants his house to be blessed, then he should wash his hands before every meal. Washing of one's hands after taking the meal stops poverty and body pains. Another tradition from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, explains the etiquette of washing hands. Before the meal, the host should wash his hands first, followed by the guests, and there may be no lapse of time between the washing of hands and having the meal. However, at the close of the meal, guests seated on the left of the host should wash his hands first, followed accordingly by the other guests, so that the turn of the host comes last. It is compulsory and obligatory for the host to wait with patience until all the guests have washed their hands. Another tradition from the same Imam, peace be upon him, states that when one washes one's hands before the meals, one should not dry it but keep it wet, for the food is blessed as long as the hands are wet. After the meal, the hands should be washed and rubbed on one's face, for that one's daily bread may increase and the freckles on the face disappear. Mufazzal ibn Umar states that he complained of pain in the eyes before Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him. The Imam, peace be upon him, told him that when he washes his hands after the meal, he should keep the wet hands on his eyebrows and eyelids and recite three times. All praise is due to Allah, who ministers kindness, makes one beautiful, showers one with blessings and elevates one. Mufazzal states that he followed the instructions of the Imam, peace be upon him, and never again had I pain. When Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, was having a meal in the house of Fazl bin Yonas, Fazl brought a napkin so that the Imam, peace be upon him, may cover his lap, but Imam, peace be upon him, refused, saying that it was the etiquette of non-Muslims and allies nations. It is narrated in a reliable tradition that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, asked Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, to have salt before and after the meals, for, a man who takes salt before and after the meal is saved from 70 types of curses and the major of them is leprosy. A tradition from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, says that salt is the cure for 70 diseases and if people will come to know the advantages of salt, they will not use any other cure except salt. The Imam, peace be upon him, also said that God asked Hazrat Musa, peace be upon him, to order his followers to have salt before and after the meals and if the order was not obeyed, they will be encircled with troubles and at that time they will curse themselves. Another tradition advises one to have vinegar before meals as it sharpens one's brains. A tradition states that Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, had said that he took salt before and after the meals. Yasser, the servant of Imam Reza, peace be upon him, states that the Imam, peace be upon him, used to call the young and old and even all the servants before sitting for the meals and make these people sit with him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, commands us to take off socks and shoes before taking meals as, besides being the best of sunnat, it is very comfortable for us. A reliable tradition states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, while having food with congregation, used to order the guests to start the food early and to finish late or at leisure so that they may be able to eat more. It is narrated in a reliable tradition that Summer bin Maran asked Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, what he should do first when the time for food and prayers collide. The Imam, peace be upon him, asked him to have his meal first if the time for prayer was there, but if having food will cover the precious time for prayer, then he should pray first and take his meal later.